I'd like to begin with a statement so much better said than I can ever say it. And it's found in the little book Education, page 100. Education, page 100 says, "The same power that upholds nature is working also in man. The same great laws that guide alike star and atom control human life. The laws that govern the action of the heart, regulating the current of flow to the body, are the laws of the mighty intelligence that has jurisdiction of the soul. From him all life proceeds. Only in harmony with him can be found its true sphere of action. To all of the creation, the conditions are the same. A life exercised in harmony with the Creator's will, a life sustained by receiving life from the Creator. To transgress his law." And what I really like about this sentence is that it opens it up. To transgress his law, whether it be physical, whether it be mental, or whether it be moral, is to place oneself out of harmony with the universe, to invite discord, anarchy, and ruin. Majestic words. As we begin to look at law, to look at the importance of law. Psalm 40 verse 8 says, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." And then we go to Psalm 119 verse 11, where the Bible says, "Thy law have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So we're looking at God's will. We're looking at victory over sin, which is the dilemma so many have. And I'd like to take you to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, which we've been looking at a few times. And I want to have a look at something you may never have seen before, something many people don't see. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." See that little bit there? "By the mercies of God. Because there is no other way you can present your bodies living sacrifices." There's actually no other way. "By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And many people look at that, "Present my body a living sacrifice, and look at it." But you missed the first bit. "By the mercies of God." And that's what many people miss out on. 2 Corinthians, I hope you've got your pen ready. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And thus saith the Lord, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them." Did you see that? He wants to walk in us. I believe that what we're looking at this morning is the key as to why so many people can't do it. And that is because they try and do it themselves. That's why "by the mercies of God" is so important. But it expands it a little bit more in verse 2, Romans 12. It says, "Be not conformed to this world." And what's this world? What's something that identifies the way this world runs? I want to do it. I want to do it myself. I remember my little son, James. He was 3. And everything I tried to do for him, he said, "I'd do by myself." And the shoes went on the wrong foot. And the buttons went up on the wrong buttonhole. "Do it by myself." And isn't that, be not conformed to this world. If you want to know why we need a saviour, look at a 2-year-old, look at a 3-year-old. In the raw, there it is, face to face. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because there's no other way you can do it. And so God gives us a promise. He says in Ezekiel 36, 26, he says, I will take away your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes and you shall keep my judgments and do them. This is the key. He will cause you. That means instead of having an inclination to stay up late, you'll have an inclination to go to bed a bit earlier. He says, I will cause you. And you see in 2 Corinthians 6:16, it told us, he said, I will dwell in you and I will walk in you. But he asked permission. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, he says, I will come in. That's the only way he can come in. God is a gentleman. He will never force entry. But let's have a look at 2 Corinthians 3:2-3. Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. And remember what we looked at on the first day? I think it was the first day. Preach the word and sometimes use words. Ye are our epistle. One of the requirements for working at our health retreat is that our staff live the life. Live the life. Because when you're working in a health retreat, you are the epistle and the guests are watching. If you don't want to be watched, get another job. This is the gospel in reality. And that's what people want to see. Ye are our epistles written in our heart, known and read of all men. Is that right? Known and read of all men. Doesn't body language tell you more than words? It's like the nurse that told me she went into a man's room one day and he was holding on to the edge of the bed. And he was perspiring, his face was white. And she said, are you okay? He said, yeah, yeah. Was he okay? He's not okay at all. So she moved very fast. Because with some men, what does husband mean? House band, they're the protectors, they're the warriors. And so they've got to hold up the banner, you know. To admit that he was in pain, he felt they're too busy, they've got too much to do. We had a lady at our retreat and she was, this was at our wild health retreat where we were on 1,200 acres, we're on 450 acres now, it was mostly bush. But oh, it was up and down, we had to go through several creeks to to get to the retreat. It was, that's Michael marketed it as Australia's wildest health retreat. Now this is a little glimpse into what we're going to talk about when you start marketing your health retreat. You got to look at what you can sell. Is it a business? Yes, it is a business. And if it wasn't a business, you wouldn't be able to stay open. But between you, me and the gatepost and the great God of heaven, it's a mission. It's a mission. But if you don't run your business on effective business sense, you won't have your health retreat for long. You see that? Because you got to buy the food. And some missionaries feel it's wrong to call our mission the health retreat a business. But if it's not run on proper business principles, unfortunately, you won't have your mission for very long. We've had some people complain and say, you didn't say it was a Christian health retreat on your ad. So you know what I say? We're a health retreat, and the people that work here are Christians. Do you go to the bank and ask them if all their employees, what they believe? Are they Hindus? Are they Christians? And we've had some people by the end of the week say, I'm so glad I didn't know you were a Christian or I wouldn't have come. And I'm so glad I've come. These are the atheists. Who do you want at your retreat? Atheists. Yeah? And you know what? They come back. And they bring their husband and their daughter. Hmm? We always give a ministry of healing to our guests. And in the last consultation, I say, I'd like to give you a copy of our textbook, The Ministry of Healing. And then I go straight to page 127. Here's the laws that we've been talking about all week. 98% of people take it. But one lady, I gave it to her and she said no. I said, okay, and I smiled. What does Psalm 119 verse 165 say? Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Very important to have that in your mind in the health retreat, amongst the staff, and certainly amongst the guests. I said, okay. And I smiled and looked at her. And she said, if I take that home, I'll never get my partner here. Praise be to God. Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, inasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ. Isn't that what we are? The epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the finger of the living God. Not on tables of stone, but on the fleshy tables of the heart. What did God say? I'll take away your heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And you know there's one thing it's impossible for God to do. It's lie. But there's another thing it's impossible for him to do. He can't write on a stony heart. He can't do that. And he is not a God of force. God's government is based on freedom. You know what that freedom is? Free choice. Free choice. The ability to choose is what freedom is based on. And that's what so many people in the world don't realize today. What's a mandate? There's no choice. There's no choice. And I talk to people who have grown up in communist countries and they say, Australia doesn't realize it, but this is how it starts. This is how the dictatorship starts. We have a great deceiver out there. He's not going to confront face on. He's going to deceive. And the Bible is Satan's detector. We need to have that detector with us all the time. Now, when I walk, I don't want to carry anything. So I drink a lot of water before I go. But I did carry my towel this morning because I wanted to find the lake, and I did. But I took it with me in here. The Bible says in Job 22, starting at verse 21, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. How do we become acquainted with God? By this. But then the Bible goes a little bit further to show us how we can become acquainted. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee, and lay up his words in thine heart. And the way you lay them up in your heart is the same thing you do when you're learning to play an instrument. When you're learning to play an instrument, what have you got to do? How often?
Every day.
Every day. Every day. every day. And it's the same principle. It's the same principle. And once you go in, it takes 21 days to form a new habit, okay? So about 21 days to actually get it, to get the habit, and takes 21 days to learn a new song, 21 days to form something new in your brain, but 60 days before it's in cement. Okay, there's the cement. And when it's in cement, what does that mean? It's there for life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 60 days and it's in cement. It's logged in tight. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. I think I'm up to my 120 days with that one. Even more. Because I learnt it 12 years ago. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. And lay up his words in thine heart. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, the Bible says, if thou wilt diligently hearken. Oh, we've heard that word before. Is that right? If I will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Do you know what that means? It's my choice. Freedom. I have the freedom to choose. What a beautiful gift that God gave to us is the freedom of choice. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which is right in his sight, what's right? To keep the law. And give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. So can you see the pattern in here? If thou wilt diligently hearken, hear, and the next one is do. If you will give ear, hearing again, and keep all his statutes. And do you remember what we looked at in that first quote from Education, page 100? To transgress his law, whether it be physical, mental, or moral. That's a lot of laws. God says, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I put upon the Egyptians. I was reading in Patriarchs and Prophets that Satan is the author of all disease. So what does it mean when it says that God says, I will put none of these diseases upon you? Let me show you how it happens. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, know you not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, because the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. That goes right in line with what we're talking about. If any man defile the temple of God, the result of defiling the temple of God is disease. So God didn't actually strike a person down with illness. Why did they get sick? Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that arise because of a violation of the laws of health. So can you see that God doesn't necessarily strike someone down, because who's the author of all disease? The roaring lion, the great deceiver, the devil. We actually bring it on ourselves through a violation of basic law. To transgress his law, whether it's physical, mental or moral, is to place oneself out of harmony with the universe, to invite discord, anarchy, ruin. Broken law. That's the cause of disease, is broken law. But we also looked at 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 3, where it says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of men that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine upon them. And our health retreat's purpose is to do what Isaiah 42 states, to open the blind eyes. Is that right? And I see it. I saw it when I was giving meetings in a little town down in bottom of Australia. And I was giving evening meetings. And I saw these girls come in. They looked like they were in their 20s. And there was a young man in his 20s, very well built. And he's looking around like this, whereas they're all eager. Remember, body language tells you so much. He sat down and he folded his arms. What does that tell you? His body language, and he slid down in the chair. That man did not want to be there. And I gave a little smile to myself. Oop, we know straight away what's happened here. The girls are next to him, keen. And I began to present. And after 5 minutes, he went. And after another 5 minutes, he sat up and relaxed his arms. Looked at the girls. After another 5 minutes, got a pad and got a pen. And in the break, he came up to me beaming. He said, "That was interesting." See, the God of this world has blinded the minds of men which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ should shine upon them. No, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. No wonder the health message has had so much flack. We were waiting for me to leave Australia because I'm not vaccinated. I have to get permission to leave Australia. And last year I got permission to leave Australia because my daughter lives in the US. She's got 7 children, so she wrote a letter and said, "Oh, I've got 7 children. I need my mother. I'm not coping. I usually have mum a couple of times a year." So they gave me permission. But she wrote the letter. We had to take it to a lawyer. Cost us $200. He had to see me sign it, stat decks. Well, we can't write that letter this time because I can't even get into the US. So then I went to my Scottish mum. So she wrote the letter. And, you know, I need my Australian daughter. She'll stay with me a few weeks. But we held off. We held off because it cost money. And then it changed. It just changed. So we were holding off coming. And then we found out, yes, you can come to England. Yes, you don't have to get permission. Praise God. And then Ben told us Sweden has opened up. So Michael quickly went ahead. Michael arranges everything for me. We quickly went ahead, and that meant 4 weeks in the UK. I said to Michael, "I've got to spend a week with my Scottish mum." She's so looking forward to this. She's in her 80s now. And Michael put the word out in England. Barbara's coming. And I've done Zooms and several things with people in England. So the last week booked out, the second last week booked out, other people were interested, and then everything went quiet. Everything went totally quiet. And then the Gloucester ones booked out. So we investigated a little bit more, and apparently there was a pastor in that church that had Googled me. In fact, I'm so infamous, apparently I'm Wikipedia now, that I'm a fraud and a threat to public safety. And so they booked out. The devil hates this message. Yeah. And so then someone rings up from Ireland. "Oh, hello, Barbara. I'm very interested in coming to Manchester to do the program." So I'm relaxed and chatting away and giving information. "I'd like to do an interview while you're there. Can I have a photo of you, a bit of things about you?" So I sent them. And then the lady that ran the program in Manchester, she quickly texted me and she said, "This lady's trouble." She'd drawn me in and got information out of me. She went to the Time newspaper. She said, "There's a fraud here. She's a threat to public safety." So Time newspaper contacted me. They said, "We've got a few questions for you." That was on email. I read them. Why do you say that you can cure cancer? Why are you taking money from people when you're a fraud? So I didn't answer that, because I know with journalists, they can twist your ways. The newspaper article went out on the Saturday morning. Oh, who are they attacking? They're not attacking me. They're attacking my master. And if people say, why does God let this happen? Have you read what they did to Jesus? Have you read that at every single step? Can we expect it to be any easier? In fact, if you've got no trials in your life, it's time to get worried. That's right. So the devil hates this message. And can you see why he's blinded the minds of men? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Mm-hmm. But have a look down. This can be very encouraging. So 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, the Bible says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine forth in darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have this treasure in earthen vessels." A lot of people miss out on that little bit. We have this treasure. Remember what God said? "I will dwell in them. I will walk in them." We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. What's the treasure? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. But have you read on? "We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." It's not going to be easy. "Ever bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ." Ever bearing about in the what? The earthen vessel. Isn't it interesting that many read the verses and don't get it all? And that's what I love about memorizing. Because when you memorize, you got to get every word. You got to get it just right. And just when I've done it, I'm sure 21 days, I go on my morning walk, oh, I can't remember it. Oh, I get that all mixed up. And it's right at that point most people give up. Do you know you're almost to the top of the mountain? Have you ever climbed a mountain and you're so tired, you think you'll go back, but you're nearly there. You're nearly there. You're almost there. So keep at it. Keep at it. I might have a little bit of screwed up paper in my pocket that's got the starting letter for the words, and that can, you know, of the verses that I'm doing, that can, because a screwed up bit of paper fell out of my skirt and I said, oh, it's just my my little reminders of where I am, because I've just memorized Ecclesiastes chapter 3, "To everything there is a purpose, and for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to..." I'm not going to say it because I'm not totally fluent with it. It's not in 60 days yet. And the hardest time to say it is in front of people. So when I came back to Australia last November, I went into quarantine for 2 weeks, in a room for 2 weeks, not allowed to leave the room. So what are you going to do? Do you know the Bible says, "I have learned in all states that I am in to be content." Yeah. That's in Philippians 4. Mm-hmm. And what does the Bible say in 1 Thessalonians 5:18? "In everything give thanks." Mm. Do you know, if you thank God for everything that happens to you, depression won't find any room in your mind. when we thank God, thank you, Father in heaven, that I'm in this room for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I went out onto the veranda and I looked down at the people, and first day I was there, I looked down and saw my husband. He waved, I waved, haven't seen him for 8 months. And there was like a little cafe and people were walking in and out, and I thought, I'm in prison and they're free. I didn't realise what is, you can just walk around. And then I looked a little bit closer and they couldn't go into the cafe unless they showed something to the policeman at the door. And you know what I thought then? They're the ones in prison. Yeah. I'm free. Is the cup half full or half empty? Yeah. And so what I did in that 2 weeks, I memorised Isaiah 53. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful, beautiful passage. 12 verses in Isaiah chapter 53. Oh, that is such a beautiful one for us all to memorise. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who hath believed us? Only those to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. When you're going over it and over it and over it, do you know God shines light into your mind to show you other things? Who hath believed our report? Who will believe this? The power of the true remedies. Those to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. And have you read that never should we open this book until we've prayed for the Holy Spirit? And so before each lecture, before each health presentation, pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal the things that you're presenting to the people that you're speaking to. The presentation that I'm giving to you this morning, I cannot give to the atheists. I cannot do that. But I'm giving it to you as students of the Most High God to show the power of these laws that have been bypassed so often. Christ Objects Lesson 347. We did that the other day. 3 and 4 is 7. When I memorize, I have little keys, and that helps. Transgression of physical law is transgression of the moral law. For God is as truly the author of the physical law as he is of the moral law. He has written his law with his own finger on every nerve, every muscle, every faculty with which we have been entrusted. Ye are epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men, inasmuch as you are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the finger of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on the fleshy tables of the heart. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God says, I will take away your stone of heart and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And the only hope of better things is the education of the people in right principles. Their principles, their ordinances, their commandments, there they all are. They're the true remedies. That's physical law. And violation of physical law is what brings disease. And when we explain how violation of physical law brings disease, then the people's intellect is appealed to. So when I look at pure air, how could I possibly spend an hour on pure air? Do you know what we're going to look at? We're going to go right into the CBD. We're going to go right into the cell. We've already touched on it. We're going to have a look at the cause of chronic fatigue syndrome. We're going to go deep. We're diving deep this morning. Mm-hmm. I didn't dive deep this morning because I didn't want to wet my hair. I just skimmed on the surface. We went down there yesterday. I'll tell you what, I was impressed with Lydia's butterfly stroke. I don't know whether I can do one. But you know what Lydia told me? She didn't start yesterday.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's the same thing. She built up to that. Mm-hmm. You got to build up to it. Yeah. Same with the Bible, same with memorize, same with everything you do, same with playing the piano. Yeah. Everything. My eldest son plays the pan pipes. You've seen the pan pipes? Those pipes that are like that. It's like an echoing sound. Do you know, a travelling visitor gave him a little set of 10 every night up on the hill. And our mountain home, he would play it. He'd go over it, over it, over it, over it, over it, over it, and over it. And we didn't complain. Oh, what a beautiful sound in the rainforest in the hills at night. And so when I saw that he loved it, and we didn't have much money because my first husband was a drug addict and an alcoholic, and we struggled. And so when I saw that my 15-year-old son was very interested in that, I found a 17-hole French panpipe. Took me 4 months. Every time I had a little bit of money, I'd go and pay a bit more off and a bit more off. Because, oh, there's so much out there for teenagers today to take them away. James is 43 now. He's a builder and he's working in the city. And he comes home and he picks up the panpipe and he just plays it beautifully. Because all those pathways were so set in cement. And the only songs he knows for the panpipes are hymns. James isn't living as a Christian now, but when he comes home, they're the songs he knows. And they're the songs he plays. And when I had dinner, do you have dinner, Barbara? Don't you eat 2 meals a day? It's not the odd day you do it. And it's not the odd day you don't. It's your habitual daily tendency. So when I go and visit my sons, they're working all day. So we have tea together. I don't think I have lunch that day. And I say, I'll just pray for the meal. And as I bowed my head to pray, my son put his arm around me and held my hand and squeezed it tight. Oh, does that warm the mother's heart?
Yeah.
Does that warm the mother's heart? And God is not finished with them yet. And it would disappoint them greatly to see me relax my standards of law.
Yeah.
Isn't that true? I was incredibly weary last night. I had to just go up and lay down for 20 minutes. I'm just a little lady. And do you know why God didn't let anything happen in England? Because I was sick for almost 3 weeks in Scotland. Mm-hmm. I told you about the throat, the onion from the restaurant. I just praise God that I was in my Scottish mum's home. And I was able to totally recover because the devil hates this work.
Mm-hmm.
So what did I do to revive and have the energy that I have today? I went to the true remedies. Mm-hmm. I went to bed very early. I must have exerted a lot of energy last night because I was lying in bed at 9:45 and I could not sleep. And then I realized my stomach was just roaring at me that it needed something. So I came down. Katie was in the kitchen, banana. I was able to go to sleep. And I slept all night, praise be to God. And then I woke very early. And then I surrendered my whole life to God. And I said, please take the stony heart and give me a heart of flesh. Put your spirit within me and walk in me today. Isn't that a beautiful verse? 2 Corinthians 6:16, that's easy to remember. And I will dwell in them and walk in them. And then at 6 o'clock, I walked, I found the lake. I wanted more intensity, so I walked up the hill before I came back to the lake. I dived in the lake. Oh, I just praise God for these true remedies. I took photos. I took a photo of me in front of the lake with my hair a little wet, sent it to the team and said, still dipping every morning, but look at this dip. It's not as cold as my creek. And then I saw some blueberries and I took photos of that for the team, for all the kids. I praise God for technology. Yeah. Use it, don't let it harm you. Mm. And then before I went, I had my water, and then we thank Casper for the great food we're getting. I sat in the sun yesterday afternoon peeling all the broad beans that we picked. Can you see that God remedies are the true remedies? People say, how can you keep up the pace? That's how. See that? That's how. That's how. There is a formula. And if you abide by the formula, you will get the results. God wants to use you. He wants to use you. He's got a plan for your life. And what he asks right now is that you give him your heart and you allow him to walk in you. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. So there's the here and do. And you've read what it says in James chapter 1, I think it's verse 22, where it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And whoso is a hearer of the word but not a doer, he is like unto a natural man that beholds his face in a glass. For he beholds his face and goes away and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. What is this law? Freedom. It's freedom. And yet what does the devil make people think?
Bondage.
It's a bondage. What blindness is that? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. That's why God said in Isaiah 42 verse 5, thus saith God, the Lord, that created the heavens, that stretched them out, he that brought forth the earth and that which comes out of it, he that giveth breath to the people upon it and spirit to them that dwell therein. I, the Lord, hath called thee in righteousness. I will hold thine hand. He'll not only walk in us, he'll hold our hand. I will keep thee. I will give thee for a covenant of the people and a light of the Gentiles to open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoners out of the prison house and they that sit in darkness out of the prison house. For I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh. Who are the wise men after the flesh? Is that our medical profession? Mm-hmm. How not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the things that are wise. Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. I was lecturing one day and there was a doctor in the room. It was in New York. He had very dark skin, I remember, because when he smiled, his white teeth looked so white. And he came up to me at the end and he said, you should be teaching the doctors. He said, I've known that with the thyroid there is a link with selenium, but I didn't realise what you said. You see, selenium, iodine needs selenium to convert to thyroxin. And did you know that mercury fillings gobble up all your selenium? Did you know that 5 Brazil nuts a day will give you all the selenium you need? This is what he didn't know. So he came up to me and said, you should be teaching the doctors. Well, oh, wow. Because God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the things that are wise. Yee. I remember being a on the rainforest with my 6 children. Sometimes not much money. Sometimes we just ate beans and chickweed out of the garden. My husband would drink most of the money. And if I said anything, he would give me less money. Ooh, I was in the school there. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that keepeth his spirit than he that taketh a city. That's Proverbs 16 verse 32. I taught all my sons that because I didn't want to raise men that got angry. Because I have felt the terror of being at the hand of an angry man. Ooh. I jumped out of the house one night and I ran through the bush. By the time I got to my sister-in-law's house, there was ice on my thighs. I was terrified. Oh, I didn't want to raise boys that would ever terrorize a woman. So I taught them the proverb, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that keepeth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So when one of my son's girlfriends come up and say to me, your son is so nice. He is so kind to me. Oh, doesn't the mother love to hear that? And then I remember when William, as a young 16-year-old, he was flatting with a lady who was 40. And apparently she was sick one night. And he ventured into her room. Are you all right? Can I do something for you? She said, I've never seen a 16-year-old like that. She said, your son. Praise be to God. Amen. Praise be to God. There's a book called Men of Steel, Men of Velvet. Isn't that what women want? So I was a single mother for 4 years. And then my husband, Michael, now asked me to marry him. I think I've married the strongest man in the world. He has never raised his voice. He has never got angry with me. That is strength. Whereas my first husband looked like built a body like Michelangelo. I've got 3 sons with the body. Looked like a movie star. And yet, well, I think he was the weakest man on the planet. It is a weak man that touches his daughters. It is a weak man that yells at his wife, so she's terrified. So praise God that the murkier the bottom of the lake, the more perfect the lily. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? And so all the heartache you've had in your life, because every soul, every heart has its sorrow. Can you see it's God's training and God's planning to prepare you for the work that he has for you? If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, he says, then I will put none of these diseases upon you that I've put upon the Egyptians. And remember, it's cause and effect. For he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And if you think that you are not qualified, if you think that you don't know enough, remember that God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the things that are wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty and base things and things that are despised. I think a lot of people in England despised me 2 weeks ago after reading that article. But do you know what happened? I gave a meeting on Sabbath afternoon and we packed the house. Do you know what the article had done? It had shown the people that have been following me on YouTube that I'm there. And we know Romans 8:28 that God can turn all things out together for good for those that love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. And we claim that verse. And Michael contacted the lady in Manchester and said, we don't want your business hurt, your health retreat business hurt. If it's going to hurt your business, Barbara being there, because this lady was threatening to have people on the doorstep, authorities, we will extract. They said, no. Praise be to God. And then this lady from Ireland, you know, we wouldn't take her calls after that. Then she somehow got the message that the retreat was called off. And of course, no one was going to write that message. So nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened, but we got a really good roll-up on Sabbath afternoon. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the things that are wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty and base things and things that are despised and things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. Then in his presence no flesh should glory. Mm-hmm. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That took me a long time to learn that verse. Some verses are harder than others. That no flesh should glory in his presence. It is all of him. So let us end with Job 22, verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee, and receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. Look at the promise. Then shall thy lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defence, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. What a promise. There's the wealth. And we know that we're going to a land where the streets are paved with gold. So have heaven's eyes on as you go into the health retreat. Our non-profit status was taken away from us. So Michael went to some lawyers who specialise in this. This was 3 years ago, and they were able to get it back because they said, we don't help people, so we're not eligible for the non-profit status. So Michael asked some of our ex-guests to send emails if they've been helped. Well, they got flooded. They had to contact us and say, can you tell people to stop sending emails? Heaven will only reveal, I guess, how many have been helped through the health work. So we got our non-profit status back with a higher level. People could now give us donations and claim on their tax. Mm-hmm. 2 years later, we get a letter. You're not eligible. This was a year ago. You're not eligible for non-profit status. So we went back to the lawyers. But you know what they said this time? You are not eligible and you have to back pay. That would be hundreds of thousands of dollars. So Michael went back to the lawyers, and the lawyers looked at it and said, we've never seen this. Do you remember what Pilate said to Jesus? What have you done? That's almost what the lawyers were saying to us. What have you done? We've never seen this. We won the case fair and square. Only 2 years ago. But they said, we'll give it our best shot. And as soon as they said that, Michael thought, nah, we're not going to win this one. So Michael quickly went home and closed Misty Mountain Health Retreat and opened Misty Mountain Lifestyle Centre. And he dissolved all the assets under Misty Mountain Health Retreat. So as bureaucracy happens, 2 months later we get a letter. You know, you've lost your non-profit status, you have to pay. Oh, there's no Misty Mountain Health Retreat anymore. And there's no assets anymore. The Governor General contacted Michael. What you've done is illegal. Michael said it is not. So can you see we're just one step ahead? Just one step ahead. But you know, God is in control. It is his work. And Romans 8:28, God can bring all things out together for good for those that love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. My purpose of this meeting was to show you that we are embarking on an incredible study when we start to dive very, very deep into these laws, deeper than you will ever present to your health guess. But I want to go very, very deep so that in your mind it is really solid. And then you can swim like I do. You can skim the surface, what you give them. And you know that if you get some guests, and you will get some guests who have questions that are deeper, you'll be able to answer them. Because every teacher knows he only really presents, what, 20% of what he knows, but he must know the rest. So I want to ground you as going into your own retreats on the heaven-appointed grounding on these true remedies.